Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about worship and the joy of worship. Before we get into that, if you are not a New Testament Christian, we would like for you to think seriously about that. As we talked about this morning in class, the church, the house of God, that was part of the mystery, that great mystery that has been revealed, where we can all understand about that plan. We know that Christ is coming back for his wife, his church, the church of Christ, and he's not going to be coming back for some other man's wife. We need to ask ourselves, are we ready for his return? So worship. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about being here this morning. Are you happy to be here today? Doesn't matter what the topic is, what the place is, in a church, in business, anywhere, if you're standing in front of a group of people, you're going to see some faces that look like this. You're going to see some people that look as if they would rather be anywhere other than where they are. And friend, that ought never to be when we come together to worship God. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Sometimes we can read through something like this, and it's just like reading a business section in the newspaper or a traffic section. Friends, we've got to take this to heart. We've got to serve the Lord with gladness. And I don't mean got to. We should want to. If we do it out of a sense of duty, God's not going to accept it. But look in these five verses. Gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise, be thankful, bless his name. Why? Because he's good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Friends, we have a lot of reasons to come to worship God with a joyful heart. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, as we're looking at his temptation in the wilderness, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. This is a very simple statement, yet what do many people do today? They worship themselves. They put myself, I put myself as number one. And friends, if we are a Christian, we cannot do it. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We want to serve ourselves. We're selfish. But when we become Christians, when we understand who God is and what he has done for us, we want to worship him. And we want to worship him not for just a few minutes on Sunday morning. We want to worship him for time without end. We want to worship him in eternity. I don't understand so many places are going to less and less time together in worship. How is that going to prepare us for when we are going to be worshiping God for time without end? So worship should be joyful. And it should be joyful because as a Christian, we have every reason to rejoice. We have reasons to rejoice before we even come here. One of the biggest reasons is because our sins are forgiven. Worship itself is designed to be joyful. Again, it's not some list of duties that we have to come in and perform. And if you do not get joy out of worshiping God, understand that you can do something about being more joyful in worship. And a lot of it just revolves around an understanding of who God is, what He has done for us, and our response to God. Because when we recognize, when we understand who God is, the only sensible conclusion that we can come to is to fall down and worship Him. And you think about the judgment day, and you hear people talk about there's going to be a lot of people begging for mercy on the day of judgment. And I would say that's a true statement. If we can get the words out of our mouth, we may be so scared we can't get the words out. There's going to be a lot of people begging for mercy on the day of judgment. Friends, we need to be begging for mercy before we die. We need to be begging for mercy so that we can make our life right, so that we can worship our Heavenly Father and do it in a joyful way. So each of us needs to understand why we can be joyful in worshiping God. I think we do, but in case somebody doesn't, we need to understand that. And our aim is that we should strive to be more joyful in worshiping God. Joy isn't something that you want to put a cap or a lid on. It's like happy. How happy do you want to be? You want to be happy here? You want to be happy up there? You want to be joyful here or up there? We need to be full of joy. Worship was joyful, full of gladness and thanksgiving to David. Psalm 122:1, David writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of Jehovah." Again, we should see smiles when we come to worship, not like those faces on the first slide. When we come together in God's house today, the church, do we have the same attitude that David had in worshiping God? I'm glad. I'm glad it's the first day of the week. I get to go and worship God with the brothers and sisters. Can we say we are glad, we are joyful, we are thankful, and really mean it? See, it's one thing to say it. It's something else to really mean it. Or do we see worship as something we must endure? Got to put up with it. Made it through the class. I'll sit here a few more minutes and make it through the sermon. Then I can go and do what I want to do for today. Friends, that's not the attitude we should have. We've got every reason to rejoice. And we should already be joyful even before coming to worship. How much more should we rejoice to be able to worship? You know, I think a lot of people have like a light switch religion where they turn it on, turn it off. And there are phrases that we say that ingrain that in our minds. And it's like right before we start, let's put all the thoughts of the world aside. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong, but it shouldn't start just a few minutes before someone gets up to speak. And with the Lord's Supper, and again, it's easy to fall in to repetition, but let's clear our mind of thoughts of the world. Well, if we've been in worship for an hour or so, I hope our thoughts aren't back in fishing or golfing or whatever. I hope we prepared to worship God before we got here. I hope we looked forward to it. And I tell you, Sunday morning and Wednesday are two of my favorite days of the week. And getting ready to come and get into God's Word and to worship Him. Paul exhorts us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, he doesn't say rejoice in our circumstances, because our circumstances might not be the best. We might have just lost our job. Someone might have died. We might have been in a car accident. We might have lost all our money. I don't want to keep thinking all those might have things. He didn't say rejoice in our circumstances. He says rejoice in the Lord. And where was he when he wrote this? He was in prison. In prison, yet he can say, he can confidently, sincerely say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I think that means he wants us to pay attention to that. He wants us to pay attention to that and be joyful. Am I able to do that? I tell you, I'll do that, and then Satan will come along and knock my legs out from under me. And then it takes a while to get back up and get going and starting to rejoice again. But if he does that to you, you're probably doing something right for him to come after you in the first place. And if he does that and you aren't rejoicing, that's understandable, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Get back up. Get your head in the Bible. Pray to God. Do things. And that joy, it'll bring us back to our mind, that joy that we should have. Why do we rejoice? We've got every reason. We rejoice because of Christ. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We can rejoice because the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, that the whole world was looking for, he has come. We know about him. He has revealed himself. He is here. We rejoice because of salvation. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And friends, this is something that we have that's far and above anything that anybody in the world has. They can have all the money, all the houses, all the cars, and not be happy. We can be happy, we can rejoice, because our names are written in heaven. And friends, if we miss that in life, we've missed everything. We want our names written in heaven. And that should be something that gives us joy. Well, I mentioned problems, but we should rejoice because of persecution. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, into different temptations. You see, when James starts off saying, if any man lacks faith, let him ask of God and he'll give it to you. Ask of wisdom. God will give us wisdom, but how does he do it? It's through going through all of these trials in life. It's not some miraculous operation. You go to bed and in the morning you wake up a wise person. It may be losing your house, losing your money, doing this and that, but you're learning in the process. And we need to rejoice. It may be something that we have in our life that we need to get rid of. We may be persecuted because of the stand that we are taking preaching Christ. It may be a stand we are taking being persecuted because of standing for the truth. We should be joyful because the Lord's loving kindness, steadfast love, never ends. You know, you can be in any kind of relationship, brother, sister, mother, father, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and sometimes love is like that light switch religion. You're in love, you're out of love. You like the person this day, you don't like them the next, vice versa. Is it that way with God? The Lord's loving kindness, steadfast love, never ends. Do we have to wake up in the morning wondering if God's going to love us for the day? No, we don't. It is of Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, says my soul. therefore will I hope in him. If God didn't love us, we would have been consumed. He would have burned us like we were talking before about a holy barbecue. We would have been done, burned up. His loving kindness, and it's new every day. We get a fresh start every day. And that's something, when we say our prayers at night, we should always say, and Lord, help me to do better tomorrow. We always need to keep working toward doing better and better. Well, we should be joyful because God is the Lord. Psalm 103, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. When we were talking this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about Paul and the church and its relationship, the Christian's relationship with the church, God dwelling in the church, God dwelling in us, in contrast, God's dwelling in us, his church, in contrast to the idols, those dead pagan idols in their temples. We worship the true and the living God, the one and only God. The Lord, our Lord, he is God. He made us, not we ourselves, and we are his people. We have this relationship with him. We should be joyful because we have God's truth. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. So we can know the truth. The truth will make us free. God has revealed the truth. We can be confident of it. We can walk in the truth. And that is something also that gives us joy. You might think back in your life of someone you know that was baptized at a certain time, and you see them later, and you're just so thankful, so happy that they are still a faithful Christian. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. We should be joyful because we have God's truth. You think of all of those people out there that are in buildings today, thinking they are worshiping God, but they don't have truth. They have been deluded. They have believed a lie. They are following some man. So we rejoice because of Christ. We rejoice because of salvation. We rejoice because of persecution. We rejoice because of the Lord's loving kindness, steadfast love never ends. Because God is the Lord, and because we have God's truth. So again, the Christian, we should already be joyful before we even get here in the morning. How much more joyful should we be once we come together, once we bow down and go to God in prayer, once we lift our voices up to him in praise, once we engage in worshiping him. But think about worship. Worship itself is designed to be joyful. The activities, a lot of them, again, some people look at them, some of them, just as a checklist to cross off. But these are activities that should move us and bring us joy. Singing is a joyful activity. There's something inherently joyful in singing. And you think of all the songs that come to mind speaking of our joy that we have. Can you sing one of those songs and not be joyful? When we're down, what are we told to do? Let him sing. If we're sick, we pray. If we're down, we need to sing. And what does singing do? It lifts our spirits. James 5:13, is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. And it's interesting, you see little children sometimes, and they will hear a tune, they will hear a song, maybe in a service, and you see them through the week, and they're singing that song. They're singing that song. As Christians, as not little children, as old people, do we go through the week singing the songs? Are they on our heart? They aren't going to come out of our lips. They aren't going to come out of our mouth if they aren't in our heart. Notice the example of Paul and Silas, Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here are several things to consider. Paul and Silas, they were in prison, not a happy place to be, not a joyful place to be, but they were singing hymns unto God. Singing hymns unto God. And we see one of the benefits of singing, it teaches and admonishes. And here, and the prisoners were listening to them. So as they were singing praises unto God, not only were they singing and admonishing one another, but they were also teaching unbelievers. But when we come together, so we have a song service this evening. And when we think about singing, think about tonight how those songs encourage us. How they, first of all, they're worship to God. But again, He designed all of this for us. This is how He wants us to worship Him. Think of the words and think of the what it can bring about in your life, whatever they are. The words of a song move us back to God. God's praise is accomplished with singing. Hebrews 13:15. Through the hymn, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to His name. Aren't you thankful we don't live under the old law? Aren't you thankful we aren't Jews that live under the old law? What were the sacrifices that they offered? They offered all kinds of animal sacrifices. The best of the animal sacrifices that they had. Without spot or blemish, they would have to take it, prepare it as a sacrifice. What are the sacrifices that we are to offer up to God? The fruit of our lips, confession to His name, singing and prayers. I tell you, right there is a big reason we should be joyful, that we can offer up this kind of sacrifices instead of having to go and get a ram or a goat or something, a heifer. We are so blessed. And God, again, he's worthy of this. He's worthy. That's what we're going to be doing when we get to heaven. If we get to heaven, if we love God enough to get to heaven, when we are around the throne, we're going to be worshiping Him, praising Him. Studying God's Word is a joyful activity. Have you ever seen a hungry man not happy to eat? Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." A lot of times you have a table of food and you put some people down, and what happens? That food's all gone because people are hungry. That's how we should be for the Word of God. We put the Word of God out to eat. We eat it. We take it in. We chew on it. We meditate on it. We make it part of our life. And it should be one of those foods that we just can't get enough of. We just can't get enough of it. How many times are we going to eat today? How many times have we ate already? And I'm talking about physical food. You know, it used to be some culture societies would eat like one big meal or two meals. And in our society, we just eat all day long, except with God's Word. And we think if we have to come one time a week, that's too much. Studying God's Word is a joyful activity. The man who walks upright delights in studying God's Word. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, day and night, this repetitive action over and over and over again. Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were words unto me, a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Jehovah of hosts. Eating God's word. Anytime, all the time. Do you like bedtime snacks? If somebody said you want a slice of pie and some ice cream, would you turn that down? Maybe two slices and a little extra scoop. Do we think about that with God's word? Let me read a chapter and an extra chapter. Worship should be joyful. Worship should be joyful. Giving is to be a joyful activity. God loves the cheerful giver. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. The cheerful giver recognizes the truthfulness of Jesus' words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when you think about giving, and again, it should be from the heart. It's going to be different for every person. But when we give, we are investing in the greatest work there is in this life. You think about that. We're spreading the gospel. We're spreading the gospel. That should bring us great joy. Praying is to be joyful for the Christian. Doesn't a child like to speak to the father and the father like to speak to the son? If a child didn't come to the father would say, "What have I done wrong? Why isn't my little boy, my little girl coming to talk to me at night?" Hannah is a good example, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in Jehovah. My horn is exalted in Jehovah. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." In Luke 1:46, Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Psalm 68:3, "But let the righteous be glad, let them exalt before God, yea, let them rejoice with gladness." Our Father wants us to talk to him. It gives him joy, and it should give us joy. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, that's a solemn occasion, but it should also be joyful. When you think about Christ dying, think about if he didn't die. If he didn't die, we would be lost. We would be without hope. Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." It's a sad occasion that he died on the cross, but we have great joy because that grave did not hold him. He was victorious. And because he lives, we can live. That should bring us great joy. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom not having seen ye love, on whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory." It's a little wordy, but you get the point. We haven't seen Christ, but we can rejoice because of what he has done for us. We can rejoice greatly with joy that's so it's unspeakable. And I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, do you have that joy? Do you have that joy that is just, it's hard, on one hand it's hard to contain, on the other hand it's so hard to express it, it's so great. Jesus is the one who turns sorrow into joy. If we have problems in life, Jesus is the answer. And we need to understand, I can do something about being joyful in worship. I can accompany my physical actions with mental work, with mental activity. So it's one thing to just go through the motions. And if all you're doing is just going through the motions, you aren't going to be happy. You aren't going to have joy. But you got to get your heart engaged also. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. We cannot just go through the motions. John 4:24. Worship is in spirit and in truth. And all of our worship should come from our heart. I can be enthusiastic in worship. We are to give God our all. And isn't worshiping God part of loving Him? In Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And we will take and apply that to other things, to things out in the world. Whatever we do, we're to do it heartily. Friends, that applies to our worship also. We shouldn't just come in unprepared, giving God our leftovers. I can be dedicated to the unity of the body of Christ. Romans 15:32, that I may come unto thee, unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Worship is a time of refreshing. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know the quickest way to kill joy? It's to cause problems in the church. It's to cause dissension. It's to pit one person against another. It's to say gossip. It's the little things, and it'll kill the joy just like that. I can understand that God is pleased with the right worship. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Hebrews 12:28, wherefore receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Friends, we are part of that kingdom that's never going to fall. This country might fall if we are members of the Lord's kingdom. His kingdom will never fall. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, there should be joy in worship. We should have happy faces. We should look forward to coming here. We should be happy before we get here. We should be happy when we're here. Hopefully, we'll be happy after we leave. We should be filled with joy. Worship should be joyful because the Christian has every reason to rejoice. Worship is designed to be joyful. And I can do something about being more joyful in worship. Now, I want us to think a little bit differently for a minute. This is the joy that we have. And then people will talk about, you know, a loving God isn't going to send people to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to do whatever they want to do when they get there. It's back to that thought inspiration, and whatever you feel like is fine. Friends, hell is not full of people that God rejected. Hell is full of people that rejected God. people have it different. That's why I asked at the beginning, are you a member of the New Testament church? And you need to think about that. And how do we get into the church? We're baptized into Christ, and the Lord adds us to his church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And what did they do when they were saved? They rejoice. What did the Ethiopian treasurer do after he was baptized? He went on his way rejoicing. And friends, when we are Christians, we can rejoice like nobody else here in this world. Friends, if there's anyone this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.